The following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
Want to start with a story that sounds very local, but isn't really. It deals with school referenda that were passed in the Fox Valley in Wisconsin, in the Appleton School District. Now, those of you in the Green Bay area are likely aware of this. It's in the news in Northeast Wisconsin. And those of you in Sheboygan and Wausau or along the lakeshore and in central and western Wisconsin who listen to the show either at WSAU, WHBL, or on the stream, well, why would you lead, 906, why would you lead with an Appleton School District referendum? Here's why. Because I am aware that around the state, now particularly here in northeastern Wisconsin, a number of school districts right here in northeastern Wisconsin, from which I do the show, have decided it's safe to go back into the referendum waters, that they feel that the economy is improved enough that they can sell voters on projects, on referenda that maybe a couple of years ago they couldn't. I've been trying to get a feel for this, and to be honest, I didn't really have a feel for it. In April, there are a number of referenda, as I said, in my part of the state. There are referenda in other parts of the state. Now, by the way, I don't know that this is a coincidence. You know, there is the Wisconsin Association of School Boards. There are other education establishment associations. Perhaps this is a consensus that they reached at the state level that, hey, we think the economy has improved enough. We've been shot down recently, but we think it's going to be different this time. Is Appleton a harbinger? I don't know. But Appleton had one yesterday on what is otherwise primary election day. There are others coming in April. The Appleton School District fared very well. Voters there supported two referenda questions. The votes were for a $25 million first question on technical education improvements. That passed with just over 5,000 yes, just over 3,600 no. Then there was a $5 million recurring funding increase, which was closer, 4,600-ish yes, about 4,000 opposed. Of course, the Appleton School District, very, very excited about this. Now, they say all politics is local or are local, which is true. That's especially true of referenda. There is usually a dynamic in the local district that has a lot to do with it. But there was a significant one, and it did pass. We'll see if that translates into what happens in other districts. Is that a good signal for other school districts around the state who have decided this is the year after the recession where they can start asking for more money again? Now, my position on this is I don't care, when they say it's pennies on the dollar, of the mill rate, whatever pennies per thousand, I don't care. For most of these projects, particularly when it's maintenance, my argument is you should build this in like anyone else does. My wife and I are talking about this all the time. At some point, we're going to need a roof. At some point, we're going to need a furnace. We should really be planning for that. And yeah, maybe we haven't been as aggressive as we should be. That furnace is old and it's on borrowed time. We really need to start planning for that. Now, I'm hoping the roof gets us a little further on. We bought the house in 2004. The roof was 5 years old. That means the roof is 15 years old. I'm hoping for another 5 years. That's my hope. But we need to start thinking about that because we do plan on being in that house for a long time, a lot longer than 5 more years. So we need to start thinking about, all right, the roof, the roof's going to go sometime. The furnace is going to go sometime. If we don't adequately plan for it and we have to borrow money, shame on us. But here's the difference. When we borrow money, you don't have to pay for it. The school district does. Taxpayers do. So, that's, you know, click on news, Jason, and maybe they'll get you what you're looking for there. So that's, you know, I just want to put that out there. And yeah, there may have been some on the February ballot in other parts of the state that I'm not aware of. But I just wanted to toss that out there. All right, I'm going to spend more time on this one. As you are well aware, Democrats are, well, they have two strategies, and we're going to get to one later in the show. Well, actually, the two strategies are far from mutually exclusive. The number one strategy that we'll get to later in the show is they want to take attention away from Obamacare. They understand it is an albatross, anvil around the neck, whatever metaphor you choose to use. It's going to kill them in November. So they want to dissuade, they want to detract attention, not dissuade. They want to detract attention from it. Toward that end, and we'll talk about this one later in the show, they're going to have a smear campaign on Republicans. It's a whole lot like Paul Ryan pushing grandma off the cliff. But they have, prior to this, they have tried other things. They have tried, and this is the patent political strategy, they have tried changing the subject. One of the things to which they want to change the subject is income inequality. So how do you operationally define income inequality in terms of what you want to do about it? Well, they have settled on raising the minimum wage. And of course, President Obama featured this prominently in his recent State of the Union address. Give America a raise. He started with an executive order that is legally questionable at best, that deals with employees of government contractors. Yeah, I'm just raising theirs to $10.10 an hour. He now wants Congress to raise everybody's to $10.10 an hour. Why are Democrats doing this? They believe it is politically popular. The polls show that majorities of both Democrat and Republican, liberal and conservative, like the idea of raising the minimum wage. And you see, and here, before I get into this, here's why I think you see this. I think even some conservatives feel, well, that doesn't impact me. I mean, really, how does it impact me? If someone making minimum wage suddenly goes from 7.25 to 10.10, well, good for them. And how does it really impact me? I think that is the way most people look at it and therefore support it. Well, it's not the government exactly giving them the money. It is the government mandating that employers give them money, but they're generally, I'm quite frankly, those of you who are skeptical of those poll results, I'm not. I actually do believe that a majority of America, irrespective of political ideology, supports minimum wage hike. This is why Democrats think they have a winning issue here, and they think it's a perfect fit to change the subject from Obamacare. Never mind how that's harming Americans. We're going to give Americans a gift. We are going to give Americans a raise. Listen to us. We want to raise the minimum wage. Now, the ongoing battle here is, what is the impact of raising the minimum wage? What does it do? Conservatives have consistently said it costs jobs, that employers will, if they've got to pay, especially small employers, have to pay go from 7.25 to 10.10, they're going to have to let some workers go. Liberals have denied this. Liberals argue it actually helps the economy because it gives people on the low end of the wage spectrum more purchasing power. They put that back into the economy, and it actually helps the economy. Conservatives have said that's not true. My position has been, I thought the research is in conflict. I was convinced it cost some jobs, didn't know how many. I was convinced it didn't help the economy much, if at all. The Congressional Budget Office has issued a report which would seem to suggest to at least one degree both sides are right. That's one way to spin this. Let's try to cut through the spin in 5 minutes. It's 9:16.
Follow Jerry on Twitter. Go to jerrybatershow.com.